Now I want to give you a little theology, really, really quickly. I want to give you a reason why I believe that we will have what is known as a millennial reign of Christ on the earth for a 1,000-year period of time. This view of Scripture is known as dispensationalism. I am a dispensationalist. I'm a dispensationalist. All right, let me tell you what that is. That is a system of biblical interpretation that sees a distinction between God's program for Israel and His dealings with the church. Now, a dispensation is the plan of God by which He is administering His rule in any given era in His eternal program. There are different dispensations. And all dispensationalists believe one thing. They believe that one dispensation is yet future. Still future. And that dispensation will be known as the 1,000-year reign of Christ on earth, known as the millennium, in which Israel will once again play a pivotal role. Now, dispensationalism teaches that all God's remaining covenant promises to Israel will be literally fulfilled, including earthly blessings and an earthly messianic kingdom. For example, God promised Israel that they would possess a promised land forever. This is in Genesis 13. This is in Exodus 32. Scripture declares that Messiah will rule over the kingdoms of the earth from the city of Jerusalem, Zechariah 14. Old Testament prophecy says that all Israel will one day be restored to the promised land. That's Amos 9. The temple will be rebuilt. That's Ezekiel 37. And the people of Israel will be redeemed. That is Jeremiah 23 and Romans 11. Now, dispensationalists believe all those promised blessings will come to pass literally the same way the promised curses came to pass. So dispensationalists are theologically conservative evangelicals, and this is how they view Scripture. They view Scripture literally. Literally. They take the Word of God, they read it, and they take it at face value. They let the Word of God say what it says, and they take it literally. Okay? So, a dispensationalist believes in a literal fulfillment of promised blessings to the Jewish nation. Therefore, we are what is called pre-millennialist. That's on your handout. Pre-millennialist. That is that we believe in a future earthly 1,000-year reign of Christ. And that is taking a literal approach to prophecy. That's what it says in Revelation 20, that they came to life and ruled and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Now, others who don't believe in a literal kingdom are called amillennialists. You just take the word, the letter A, and put it before the word millennialist. And they say, no, there's not going to be an actual physical, earthly, visible kingdom of Christ. This is what they say. It's not a literal kingdom. It is a spiritual kingdom. It's not an actual earthly kingdom. It's a spiritual kingdom. Now let's talk about a moment, because I want you to be aware of that other view. And I want to give you some information really quickly. This belief in a visible kingdom of Christ on earth for 1,000 years was part of common doctrine in the first century, but with the start of growing Catholicism, it became diminished. And in those early days, it was called C-H-I-L-I-A-S, which is the word for 1,000. But around 250 A.D., it began to become a lost doctrine. And then by 400, with Augustine, it was about gone. But prior to that, it was a conviction of the church. But in the period of time known as the Dark Ages, that came out of growing Catholicism all the way to the 1500s, it was pushed aside. But I want to remind you, Revelation 20 explicitly says that we will live and reign with Christ for a period of 1,000 years. Now, the only way a person can deny the earthly, visible, millennial kingdom is to do three things. And I want you to see what they are. Number one, you have to confuse Israel and the church. You have to confuse Israel and the church. And if you do that, then you can do away with an actual kingdom. You just say, no, God is through with Israel, and the church is the new Israel. And so, therefore, I can cancel all the promises that God made to Israel. Number two, you make present what is clearly future. You make present what is clearly future. In other words, you take all the prophecies that are clearly future and you back them up in history and you say these have already been fulfilled. And we don't need a kingdom. They've already been fulfilled. Number three, you spiritualize Old Testament prophecies. Instead of placing a meaning, a place, it means you say, no, that doesn't mean a place. That means something spiritual. And instead of that being an actual event, you say, no, that is some spiritual thing. Now, what's the point and purpose of God in giving us glorified bodies that can live on earth as it is and in heaven as it is if there's never going to be an earthly kingdom? Now, I'm going to give you five reasons why. I just want you to register these reasons in your thinking. I just want you to think. I'm just teaching you a little theology here. Number one, the earthly visible millennial kingdom of Christ is the only adequate confirmation of the truthfulness and faithfulness of the promises of God. In other words, God said he was going to give a kingdom. If God doesn't give a kingdom, then I have to say, wait a minute, what about your faithfulness and your truthfulness? Are you really, did you lie? If you go to Genesis 13, where God gave this unconditional promise to Abraham, that promise was not based on law. That covenant was based on promise. And Romans 4, 13 through 15 says it cannot be annulled because of Israel's unbelief. And what was that promise about? It was a promise about an earthly kingdom and a nation and a seed that was to come from him, which was the Messiah. And God says, I cannot break that promise. So when Scripture talks about the promises of God for a future kingdom, this is what it says. It says in Isaiah 54, it's as firm as the mountains. In Jeremiah 33, it is as true as the course of day and night. In Jeremiah 31, it is as stable as the laws of the sun, moon, and the stars. And in Isaiah 66, it is as permanent as the new heaven and the new earth. Here's a second thought. The earthly, visible, millennial kingdom of Jesus Christ is the only explanation of the history of the end which correlates with the teachings of Jesus. Now, we just studied Matthew 24 and 25. At the end of Matthew 23, Jesus said to the Jewish in the temple, your house is left unto you desolate. You kill the prophets, you stone the people sent to you, and so forth. And then he says, your house is left desolate, but not forever, just until you hear, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. Now that is a messianic title. And basically he's saying, you're left desolate until you see me coming. You're going to see me coming. Jot down this verse, very interesting, Matthew 19, 28. Jesus said there to his disciples, verily I say unto you, that you have followed me in the regeneration, when the Son of Man will sit on his throne of glory, and you will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. That is very literal. Literal 12 tribes, literal 12 thrones. So Jesus taught a kingdom on earth, a kingdom over Israel, that Israel would come to faith in Christ, that desolation would be turned into glory. Here's a third thought, real quickly. The earthly, visible, millennial kingdom of Christ is the only logical interpretation of messianic prophecy. Now, this is what I mean by that. If you do not have a literal earthly kingdom, then there is no way to logically interpret Old Testament prophecy. It just puts you out to sea. And when you look at prophecy, on the first coming, there are over 300 different prophecies about the first coming. And so, you know, when it said Christ is going to come in Bethlehem in Micah 5:2, what did that mean? What was the secret meaning there? Well, it was Bethlehem. And in Zechariah 9, when it says he's going to ride into the city on a donkey, what's the spiritual meaning there? Well, it really was literal. He rode in on a donkey. In Zechariah 11, it says he was going to be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. I mean, what does that mean? What's the spiritual meaning there? No, he was betrayed for a literal 30. Psalm 22, his hands were literally pierced. Psalm 34, his bones were literally not broken. Zechariah 12, his side was literally pierced by a spear. He died literally in Isaiah 53. Psalm 16, he rose again the third day, literally. And nobody argues that. Nobody says, well, let me just tell you about the spiritual meaning of the mystical wound in his side. No, it happened exactly as prophecy said. And we don't spiritualize that. But when I go to the second coming and it says that he will touch his feet on the Mount of Olives, I say, no, 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 that's not really the Mount of Olives. That spiritually means this. And you see, you're just out at sea. Who's going to tell you what it means spiritually if I'm going to spiritualize it? Do you see what I'm saying? All right, then here's number four. Did I give you four? No? Just three? I quit at three. All right, here's four. The earthly visible kingdom of Christ is the best possible way for Jesus to demonstrate that he is the supreme ruler over his creation. How can he prove that he is supreme ruler over creation, over man, over earth, if he's not given the opportunity to do that? I mean, if history just comes to an end, everything on earth gets wiped out, and everything is just taken into heaven immediately, without a restored earth, without him getting to rule and reign upon the earth. When is he ever going to have the government upon his shoulders, as Isaiah 53 says? Romans 8 says this, that creation groans. And the word picture there is it's on its tiptoes looking for the glorious manifestation of the sons of God, because they're going to be released. Creation is going to be released from the curse. That's going to happen in the millennial reign of Christ. Here's the fifth one and the last one, and we're done. The earthly visible millennial kingdom of Christ is the only and necessary bridge for human history into eternal glory. Jot down 1 Corinthians 15:24. It says there, then comes the end. Christ the first fruits. Then they that are Christ at his coming, then comes the end that is coming when he shall have delivered up the kingdom unto God. What kingdom is he going to deliver up to God? Well, it says there in 1 Corinthians 15, when he shall have put down all rule, all authority, all power. And that's the first thing he's going to do. He's going to be complete ruler over everything. He's going to put all under other rulers in his authority, under his authority, and then he's going to deliver that up unto God. And then it says in verse 28, the Son then becomes subject to him that put all things under him, that God may be all in all. And I see that as the necessary bridge from the kingdom of Satan into the eternal kingdom of God. And then Matthew 13:43 says this, and then the righteous will shine as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. I believe in an earthly, literal, millennial kingdom. And so I wanted to give you a reason why, because you're going to be out discussing these things, and you can say, I know why I believe what I believe, but study it for yourself. Let's pray together. Our Father, I'm sorry we don't have time to talk more and ask questions. We've gone so quickly. I've skimmed over so much, I couldn't give everything in my notes. But I just pray, Father, that we've got a taste for your coming again. And you're telling us to be sheep.
God, may we be precious sheep who serve you with all our heart, who lay down our lives for your kingdom. And Father, thank you that we know what is to come because you don't ever do anything that you don't let your people know exactly what you're going to do. And we can study our Bibles and we can know what it says and we can be aware of everything that is to come. And we can let it be a purifying thing in our lives to challenge us to live and be kingdom women. And I pray that that is exactly what we will do. In Jesus' name, amen.